Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. UFC Vegas 21 just came to an end, and what can I say? I think I have to start off by apologizing to our great viewers, because I went on this journey. I took you on a ride yesterday during the preview show when talking about the MMA gods and how unfair they can be. Little did I know that I was right. But they were really angry tonight, like super angry. Cannot believe that fight ended the way that it did. Leon Edwards comes back for the first time since July of 2019. Like we talked about, Nate Diaz had fought twice since we had seen Leon Edwards compete. Goes into the octagon. He hurts Bilal Muhammad. He looks fantastic in the first round. And then he lands one of the nastiest eye pokes you will ever see, completely accidental. Bilal Muhammad was in incredible pain. And the doctor, Herb Dean, fight is stopped. We have a no contest, and that is how the night ends, as we welcome you to our UFC Vegas 21 post-fight show to react to actually a really fun card up until that point. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Jose Youngs, live from Phoenix, Arizona. We got AK Lee, the Prince of Positivity, the man behind fiery tweets all over MMAfighting.com, and the man on the ones and twos in the truck, baddest stash in MMA media, Casey Lydon. Oh, man. Jose, let us begin with you, my friend. Your initial reaction to what we just saw in the main event of the evening.
Makes sense. This is MMA. MMA is a silly sport. We thought Tony Ferguson and Donald Cerrone would rule that fight ended in oddness. We thought Donald Cerrone versus Robbie Lawler would rule that ended in that ended fight ended up being terrible. We thought Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal are fighting for a fake title for the baddest motherfucker in the world, and it ends with a cut over an eye. So yes, of course, keeping with tradition, the welterweight / lightweight division is silly and nothing can go right. So am I surprised? Yes. Should I be surprised? No, because this is MMA. And nothing that we like goes right. We don't get the fights we want. And when they do happen, this happens. We all said Jan Sterling was going to be amazing. How did it end? We all thought Izzy was going to style on Jan. How did it end? Like, it just happens. This is, no one should be surprised, but we should all be disappointed. But we shouldn't be surprised. Unfortunate all around.
AK, you're the Prince of Positivity. Make this positive somehow. Unmute yourself and then.
Sorry. I'm positive. I was doing some typing, so you know, I'm a very loud typer. I'm positive that we have a lot to talk about, which is always a good thing, I think, for these post-fight shows. It's, you know, and look, we got a little bit of everything, didn't we? We got no contest, two no contests, first round finishes, controversial. There's like two fights on this card that I think people felt could have gone either way. One of them maybe a little more of a robbery than the other, but like on any other card, that like would have been one of the top five topics of conversation. On this card, I almost just even forgot to mention it. So yeah, we got a lot to talk about, and that's great. That's great for us, and that's great for those tuning in. So thanks everyone for tuning in.
Casey, let's. I mean, we can't really change the subject because I'm sure we're going to be talking about this more, but this was a fun card. We were talking about it before we hit record. There were a lot of good finishes. There were some scraps, some really good fights. So I'm curious how you think the bonus structure will play out tonight.
Well, first off, this card, fights 1 through 12, freaking ruled. Man, they were awesome. And then even the first round of the 13th fight, the main event, was pretty dang awesome until those last 18 seconds of round two. Bonus structure. First off, Dan Ige needs to change his name to Dan, maybe 100K Ige. Maybe that's the way the fight bonus. Maybe the whole fight bonus is staying at 50K solely because of his nickname, and you know the UFC doesn't want to mess up his Twitter handle or anything. So Dan Ige, change your name. But Dan Ige should get, I'm assuming four bonuses tonight. Dan Ige, probably Ryan Spann. It was a great card.
Samuelsberger. Samuelsberger, probably.
Samuelsberger. And then one more. Who am I missing?
Yaya. Oh,
yeah. Davy Grant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it sucks, but then, man, like, how do you not give extra money to Charles Jourdain and Marcelo Rojo? Oh, like, that fight was freaking awesome. It was a great night of fights. Minus one horrible eye poke. Highs and lows of the sport, the highs and lows. I want to be like super excited, but then God, I was just like, we're gonna talk about Leon Edwards. Is he gonna get a title shot tonight? Is it gonna be a big upset? No.
Wild. What are the peeps?
More bonuses, more money for the fighters. No, I'm saying more bonuses, more money for the fighters. Please, please, enough of this. This shouldn't even be something that we're debating after a card. We should just be saying we should be happy for everyone who had exciting finishes and the $200,000 bonuses that they're each getting someday. Hopefully that will be the norm.
So I think I think the two things we learned tonight are, one, like AK said, more bonuses, and two, we need to do something about this grounded fighter landing knees rule because this is getting out of control. Please. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe we got another one tonight.
I was saying, Mike, you know, I just tweeted out a photo of the eye poke, a nice close-up picture of the eye poke. I don't know if Casey wants to grab it. It's pretty nasty. So anyone watching.
Can you throw it on Slack?
It's really ugly. I don't even know if we want to put it. I'll send it to you. I don't think we want to put it in the – it's not fun to look at.
It's like, jeez. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. I'll put it up in our slides. I'll put it up in Slack. Boy, it's rough. It's rough. But yeah, it's funny that we almost forgot about the accidental knee that happened just like an hour ago.
That's so wild. And it was just different because, I mean, it was a lot of talk about the rules and like the difference between the Anders knee and the Sterling knee. One was deemed intentional. One was deemed unintentional. We had a DQ and we had a no contest. I mean, just craziness. It's wild. Just wild. What are the peeps saying right now? How are they responding to the end of this night? Hopefully they're like, I mean, I know we're a little bit down, just, you know, recency bias and all, but like Casey just alluded to, it's a really good card overall, though.
It was
big finishes, great fights.
I was ready to talk about, like, dude, you know, don't judge a card till it happens, you know. I was going to do all the whole Dana White thing, you know. I mean, I was kind of high on this card regardless coming into it. I felt people were kind of crapping on it for no real good reason. I actually liked a lot of the matchups on it. But then MMA gods did what MMA gods do, yeah. Let me show the photo. You know, they're just asking for the photo, so I'm going to give them the photo. Hold on one moment.
All right. You gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah.
You gotta give the people what they want.
Animals, you. There we go.
That's right in there. That is under the lid. That is right under.
That's touching his brain. That's not good.
Boy, when he was screaming. He hit the mat and was just screaming.
We saw two fighters. We saw two fighters back to back fights. Ryan Spann crying in the cage, and then Muhammad crying for other reasons. No.
There is crying in MMA. There is. We know it. We know that for a fact. Anyone who thinks there's no crying in MMA, I mean, that's been, well, we know there definitely is. And definitely was tonight, and justifiably so, because that was such a shame. Leon Edwards, his first fight in 20 months. Bilal Muhammad, his first main event. Yes, I think that's the appropriate reaction. His first main event, his chance to immediately jump into a top five spot if he beats Edwards. And we get really the worst case scenario for both those guys and for the UFC, I think. Because I think we all said, we agreed beforehand that there's no guarantees the winner was going to get a title fight, but it certainly would have helped them sort things out and would have given Dana White an option if he wanted to lowball lowball some of the more.
So literally everyone loses. Dana White ain't going to be saving money for a title
fight. Saying some of those other welterweight contenders, I mean, obviously, I don't think they're celebrating what just happened there, but they're definitely, you know.
The only winner in this is Trevor Whitman, because now the UFC is going to have to look at his fancy gloves that he's always selling.
Oh,
you ever looked at those things? Those things are sick. Have you looked at those, Casey?
No, I haven't.
They're curved. Like, he puts so much time into, like, perfect. They're like curved down like this, and he like researches it a ton, and he's shopping it to a bunch of like the technology and stuff to a bunch of places. But he says he wants the UFC to have it first, just because they're kind of, he understands if the UFC takes it, then the casuals will recognize it as legitimate, and he's just trying to expand. He's just trying to make every promotion use it, and a lot of promotions won't change unless the UFC changes. That's just the business part.
Yeah. But this card, when I think about it, this card was like the pinnacle MMA card. It had freaking everything, including massive disappointment. You know, so
I don't think it's a bad card.
No, it isn't. It's just like, you know, it's like, you know, watching a great movie, but like, but there's some twist at the end, and it just sucks. You know, but it's like, well, the first, you know, 89 minutes were really great. You know, just that last minute sucked. But just think about
it's like the last season of Game of Thrones.
Okay, we're not going to talk about Game of Thrones. That's old news. And the last season was not that bad. Okay, this is.
I was going to go for a Spike Lee dig. I was going to say it's like a 90s Spike Lee movie.
No, I'm not complaining that the choices why they made the choices in Game of Thrones. I'm just saying they were dumb. I'm not complaining that they made them. They were just dumb.
I thought we were not talking Game of Thrones.
Well, we weren't. I heard what Casey said. I chose to ignore.
Yeah. I think it was an entertaining card overall. I think we'll look. I think the last 2 weeks of cards are. Well, we're gonna hopefully in the future, kind of like by the end of the year, kind of blend together how crazy these last 2 weeks were. First of all, and I mentioned this on the preview show that we didn't lose a fight within like that 48-hour window, which had happened to many cards, and we lost a lot of fights on fight day. So that didn't happen with these cards. Instead, all the weirdness was saved for the cards themselves. So I think when we look back on this 2-3 stretch, the end of February, and the first 2 weeks of March, we're going to be like, man, what the hell's on that?
Well, you know what? It's like, because we're 1 year, pretty much 1 year into the pandemic, 1 year into, you know, the country, the world shutting down. So all that weirdness of MMA kind of just, you know, got bottled up and got released, you know, in the 1 year anniversary, pretty much. So there you go.
Damn. Wild. Absolutely wild. It's like your first relationship in high school, unless like you got lucky. It starts off great, new beginnings. Matthew Semelsberger with a quick knockout, and then we got Jin Yu Fry getting her first win. It's another feel good moment, and we got a bump in the road. We got a bad decision by the judges. Poor Courtney Casey gets hosed. But then like the next day you apologize, and we get Nasrat Haqparast versus Rafa Garcia, and then we get a Rani Yahya submission, and then we get Charles Jourdain versus Marcelo Rojo.
Angela Hill gets a solid win, you know, and then we're back to normal, you know, with the rounded knee rule. And it's always the winning fighter. It's never like a guy is like, oh, I'm losing, I got to cheat to stop the fight. It's always a guy about to finish the fight.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, Anders, same with Leon Edwards. We didn't even talk about how great Leon Edwards looked in round one. That was like,
awesome.
That's what even sucks more about this. Like, it's like, oh, you know, Leon Edwards, he's been out for a while, and boom, he comes back. He looks fresher than ever. Like Bahal is just like, you know, going backwards, like totally reacting to Edwards, you know, the whole time. Edwards is switching stances, throwing kicks from both sides. Like Muhammad just looked he looked lost for a bit in there, you know, in the second round.
All right, we got bonuses, people. We got bonuses.
Okay.
Four
no fight of the
yeah, four performance bonuses.
Yep, no fight of the night. No fight of the night.
Span, Ige, Grant, and the Mr. How do you say is that? Matt
Semmelsberger.
Semmelsberger.
Semi the Jedi.
Yeah, that's my correct guess for the top four.
That's your
yep.
Oh, you got it.
I got it.
Yep, that's correct. Ooh. No Ronnie Aya.
What did you say again? You said Span, Ige, Semmelsberg, and who else?
Semmelsberger and Davy Grant.
And Davy? Oh, yeah. Okay, then, yeah, sure. Oh.
That's a problem.
I know, Charles Jourdain, Ronnie Aya, come on now.
Ronnie Aya made it look too easy. When you got like,
yeah, definitely.
Just it's a lot like last week when Amanda Nunes submitted Megan Anderson. If she would have knocked Megan Anderson out, I'm sure, I mean, I don't think she needs the extra 50K, but I'm sure she would have gotten the 50K. But because she submitted Megan Anderson, you know, the UFC don't like that. So, bummer for Ronnie Yaya. But yeah, congratulations to all the extra 50K. Should be more, though.
Davy Grant with the legendary old man English power. He breaks bones in the fight, had a broken jaw on Fight Island, gets a knockout, breaks his foot against Jonathan Martinez, knocks out Jonathan Martinez, gets a huge upset win. The guy is just like a fine wine right now. Just
he's
aging
a
very
grappler.
Gracefully.
Mike, he's a grappler. He's a submission guy. One KO in his first 11 years of MMA. It wasn't that many fights. It was like 15 fights. But still, one knockout. Now, back-to-back highlight reel KO. What? What MMA? What?
What'd I say? Huh? What'd I say? He's the new Gilbert Burns.
He's a bad man.
That dude, and Dan Ige. How about Dan Ige getting screwed over for fastest knockout ever in UFC history? He had a 3-second knockout. 3-second knockout, apparently.
Yeah, if only exactly if they hadn't counted the like it's the clock should only start once the two guys engage. Obviously, yeah.
Once I start paying attention to the fight.
That was like the biggest waste of air. I mean on air time. I don't mean big waste of air, but yeah, Cormier and Bisping like what was that 3 seconds, 5 seconds? It's like, did you guys just completely forget everything that happened before the actual exchange? Like you guys know the clock started like 20 seconds ago.
There's clocks all over the screen now with all those DraftKings clocks everywhere. Who is the play-by-play guy tonight?
Fitzgerald.
I could tell Fitz was like what do you guys he kept trying to chime in like
how do I interrupt this without this like, making these guys look, you know, off.
and it's too bad because overall I thought Bisping and DC did a great job tonight.
They did,
like breaking down certain fights and certain techniques and different scenarios. I thought they did great, like giving different aspects on a lot of those different things.
I thought that was bad. And they were giving – it was bad, but I thought they laughed about it well, though. But I thought they gave really good positive critiques of constructive critiques of fighters. You know, I think – I can't remember who, but there's a few fighters are like, oh, they just need to work on this. But it wasn't like just – wasn't crapping on them or anything, but they were like, oh – just clearly they need to work on this, and they did a great job tonight. Actually, I criticized them a lot, but I thought they did a really good job tonight, and they stayed focused. It was good.
The one thing I didn't like that was discussed in the broadcast, and this wasn't just them, because when Mark Ratner came on to clarify after, it was a little confusing, sort of what happened with the illegal knee in the Anders Stewart fight. And then ESPN may also tweeted this out. They were explaining like why it was called the way it was, and it's like it went to a no contest because it was an unintentional foul and it wasn't past the middle part of the second round. But I think some people might have misconstrued that as saying like why it was a no contest instead of a DQ. And I tweeted out that like, you know, what they're saying is why this didn't go to the scorecards, because sometimes things in unintentional foul can go to the scorecards. But I hope people aren't thinking that the round matters when determining a DQ. A DQ can happen in any round, mm-hmm. Okay? But it's just like, yeah, what they were discussing in the broadcast was why it was called specifically a no contest as opposed to possibly going to the judges, which again, can happen if the fight is more than halfway done. But if the strike had been deemed intentional, round doesn't matter. We would have had a disqualification like last week with UFC 259.
And I'm still not 100% sure what the difference between intentional and accidental is, to be honest. I don't really understand it, because clearly Jan didn't intentionally throw last week, didn't intentionally throw an illegal knee. He threw it with the intent thinking it was legal. Same with Anders. So it's weird. I don't get it. I don't see how
Anders' knee could be viewed as unintentional, if I'm being honest. I have no idea how you could say that was unintentional. Again, like you said with Jan, he didn't mean to do something illegal.
Yeah.
But he did intentionally.
But everything's intentional.
Knee.
Yeah.
Everything isn't intentional.
Yeah. Like,
nobody honestly intends to get disqualified.
The only difference is in the Bantamweight title fight, the referee can be heard saying, "Don't do it. He's down. He's a down fighter." We didn't get that in this one because it just seemed, I guess, more obvious. I don't know. So how do we fix that? I have no clue how to fix that.
And I think people are saying also Mark Smith kind of put himself into a corner. I think right away they said he shouted like intentional foul. And there was like no going back from that. After that, it was just a matter of deciding whether Aljo could continue or not and whether to take away points or just disqualify. So, yeah.
I don't understand anything. I honestly don't.
You know what's wild though? If we were this close to getting two of those in a row, because Angela Hill was this close to throwing one of those on Ashley Yoder, and right when she was about to lift that knee up, she pulled it back, and that would have been a bad one too. That probably would have been worse than any of the other two.
And once again,
she's wide open for it.
And it's always the dominant fighter who's running away with the fight that always gets the illegal knee. Because, like, go back years. Go back to John Jones and Anthony Smith. He was dominating the fight. You know, then he throws the illegal knee. John Jones over Matt Hamill. He was dominating the fight. And then he threw the illegal elbow. It's just, yeah. Like the whole idea is like, oh, they don't know the rules. Like, they know the rules. It's just like they're also beating up somebody right now and trying to finish this fight. It's fighting. I don't know. But asking how do you fix the dang rule, you get rid of the dang rule. I've been saying this a lot, and just get in that position. Like, put your friend against a wall. Put your in that position. When you're moving around sweaty and everything, it's hard to see both knees on the ground. You just can't tell. That's why I don't understand why instead of knees, it's butt on the ground or butt or hip on the ground. If your butt or hip is on the ground, it's really hard to fake that or play, you know, as you know, what is it, play the game, you know, kind of go up and down. So that's one. If you still want to make kneeing a downed opponent illegal, change it to butt or no hip on the ground. That's really all I can see. You know,
and Casey, I think when you mentioned there speaks to, again, the difference between this week and last week was last week, I think Mark Smith thought he made it pretty clear that Aljo was grounded. And this week, you can imagine being, like I said, sort of Anders' shoes and the position he was in, not knowing exactly where is the knee off, is the knee partially lifted, are both knees down? Like, it's happening very fast. So that, I think, is one distinction that they were able to make tonight as far as like saying like, okay, well, that's what made this one clearly unintentional. But again, like you said, it's a slippery slope, but I think you raised a good point as far as like the fighter perspective and what they with the information that they were working with. Yeah.
And you got to remember too, like when Mark Smith said to Peter Yan down, also Peter Yan Peter Yan is not listening for that. That's just something you don't hear very often from fight. You just hear from the ref stop, you know, or something. That's just not like, I don't know. I don't really recall refs just yelling down a lot. And like you said, Aljo was down there for a while. Once you're down, you can get back up. It's just down for that second. So I'm not trying to excuse Jan or whatever, but I'm just saying the rules are – it creates lots of confusion in there.
Right. And we know that – listen, rule changes in MMA, it's going to take freaking forever for that to be changed. So unfortunately, I think it's going to be kind of on the referee to just say, like, you're just going to have to communicate more. Just say like he's down, even if it becomes like, you know, nonsense and redundant. I think that's just one thing you have to do to avoid some of these things happening, because again, like, how are you supposed to know? It's so hard to tell.
It is,
but who knows? It just sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks and it stinks and it sucks.
Yeah.
What are the peeps saying? Let's get them involved.
All right, we'll just follow their lead.
There's a lot of them. Well. I see a lot of peeps. I see a lot of peeps trying to get be heard. We got it. We got kind of an early-ish finish to the card tonight, and a lot of controversy.
Is this the worst case scenario for Leon's aspirations of getting a title shot? Outside of him getting knocked out in 8 seconds by Bilal Muhammad, this is probably the worst. This is probably the worst thing.
Oh, you muted. You muted.
I think losing would be pretty bad. So that's probably worse than this, but sure. Maybe if him, I guess, yeah.
Well, not, I think, yeah, outside of, I think he meant outside of a loss.
Sure. I guess. We'll see how the welterweight picture plays out.
Well, I mean, Leon, I don't know if, go ahead, sorry. Sorry, Jose, go ahead.
No, it's all you.
I was going to say, apparently Leon is talking on the post-fight show right now, and he does not seem to think that this is the worst thing that could have happened. This is a quote. Shout outs to our pal Mark Romani for transcribing this and tweeting. He says, Edwards from the post-show, I have worked my way back up from getting defeated by Kamaru Usman. I fought everybody. I've opted to fight everybody. I believe I deserve a title shot next.
It's not happening.
That's not happening. Sorry.
Sorry, I hate to be that guy, but it's just not happening. It's just not happening.
You know, it's weird.
He's gonna have to fight again. If I'm him, I am like calling Eric Nixick right now and saying, "Dude, let me come train with you. I'm staying in Las Vegas, and if something pops up, I'm jumping all over it." Dude, you can't wait 6 months to fight again. You have to get right back in there because I don't think he's like out the door of the conversation, but he's definitely like sitting at the kids' table right now. Compared to Colby and Masvidal and Wonderboy and, you know, those guys right now, he's in the room. He's just sitting at the small table right now. It sucks. You know, being unbeaten in, what's it, 10 fights now? 9-10 fights? I mean, this is terrible. As good as he looks in that first round, this is a terrible outcome outside of losing. Losing was the worst thing that could have happened, but this is bad.
I would even say this is worse because – fighters get title shots off losses. Fighters don't get title shots after eye pokes. I'm just
That was real. That was real.
Too soon.
I don't know. Rumble Johnson got a title shot over a headbutt.
Was it?
Do you not remember the Rumble Johnson? Do you not remember the Gustafson Rumble fight?
I thought
Rumble Johnson. Yeah, he headbutted him in the skull and then knocked him out when Gustin was dazed.
But then I thought Gustin got the title shot after that.
Well, no, Rumble beat Gustin to get the title shot. That was the number one contender fight Sweden.
When Gustin fought DC, what was he coming off
Gustin,
of?
Anthony Johnson knocked out Alexander Gustin to fight John Jones. John Jones hit a pregnant woman with his car and ran away. They stripped John Jones. Daniel Cormier filled in and fought Rumble Johnson for the vacant title.
And when did
so it, the went, original fight what the original fight was Rumble the original fight is that fight was at UFC 187 and then I believe UFC 191 was DC versus Gustafson. So both Rumble Johnson and Gustafson had tomfoolery and both had title shots after, and Ryan Bader was the Leon Edwards in this scenario.
All I'm saying is you don't get title shots off of eye pokes.
You can't even miss weight.
Not yet.
Why not eye pokes?
Not yet. This is true.
Not yet. You can miss weight.
It's like I get what Jose's saying. It's like before all these things happened, I would have said the same thing that, yeah, you can't get it off this. You can't get it off this. You can't get it off this. And he's just saying that these precedents are getting set constantly. So there really is no such thing as, well, you can't get a title shot off this because clearly you can get it off almost anything.
All right. I think this is a big question, though.
What would you do with Leon next?
Colby Covington.
But if the UFC couldn't make that now, what? How are they going to make it now? I mean, maybe they couldn't make that last week or whatever. Does anything change? Are we still in the weird situation where Leon's probably going to fight someone behind him in the rankings?
Or not? Oh, my question is actually this while we're on air, man. Are we doing, for on to the next one, are we doing Leon and Bilal? Do we even, we have to, right? We have to.
Is that the?
Yeah, right, that's a good question. Right?
You run it.
I think we have to.
Why do you run that back, though?
No. I don't mean. I know. I meant on our show. Normally, there's a no contest. Normally, there's a no contest. We just don't matchmake for those fighters. Like, we won't be doing Anders and Stewart tomorrow. And they're like, okay, easy choice. Main event, no contest. We kind of have to matchmake for both guys. I feel a rematch is an option, but it's funny from the reaction I was seeing on social media. I did not see a lot of interest at all in people wanting to run this one back.
Also, that was a bad eye poke. Like, I don't know if Bilal is going to be able to get back in there. Like, remember what happened to Kazangana? Like, she got stabbed in the eye and she took a whole bunch of time off.
Well, actually, when Anthony Johnson, he when he fought, was it Kevin Burns? He was out for a while with a eye poke loss.
That was another really bad one, too. I remember that was really bad. And Kevin Burns got a TKO win off that, I think.
Oh, he did? That's up. Jeez. He paid for it in the rematch. Didn't they rematch? They rematched it, right? Yeah.
They did. They did. And Johnson won.
And he died. You saw a murder.
Do we answer this question?
I would do Leon versus Chiesa. That's the fight I'm making. It depends. If Leon's smart, he'll fight as soon as possible. Chiesa, but I don't think that's going to happen. Chiesa said he's ready and he'll be ready to fight in July. That's 4 months from now. Edwards versus Chiesa can headline a fight night card. I'm fine with that. Neither of those guys are in the title picture right now.
Is Masvidal versus Edwards never going to happen? Do I have to give up on that dream?
Not for the unless it's for a belt. I don't see it happening.
That's so silly. That fight doesn't need a belt. It's such an easily sellable fight. Oh, this is frustrating. That's the fight that should happen. That's the fight that should happen. This is ridiculous.
But you know the rules. You know the rules, AK.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jose. I shouldn't have said. I said it out loud. I used the word should.
What are we thinking about?
You said win up. You said marketable. Yep. You said make it. Like, doesn't work out.
What are we thinking about Leon Edwards versus Gilbert Burns?
I mean, they make it fine.
But it makes sense. I was thinking that makes sense, right?
Why can't we do the original fight and do just Leon versus Khamzat part 3? Well, like, both of them need to fight again.
Khamzat's retired. We're not going to see him back by June, like Dana said. So I'm going to go ahead.
People say things.
Oh, I'm talking about.
Burns.
I think
answer is fight soon against anybody.
I think Gilbert Burns I think Gilbert Burns is that guy. I think Gilbert Burns wants to get back in there. I'm sure, give it, another, month and a half to clear whatever commission, medical, there's a word for it, medical stuff.
I mean, he tweeted out the other day, June with the eyes.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something, maybe he's already got some. So that's the thing. We don't know. Maybe him and Colby, or I think that fight makes more sense than Leon Colby, but who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows? All right.
There's really no wrong answer. The answer is he just takes whatever they offer him, and hopefully it's quick.
But does Leon Edwards take someone like Muhammad again? Someone who's was Muhammad even ranked in top 15? Or is that kind of okay? Well, does he take someone like that far behind him in line, Edwards? Or does he?
I think he was right there at 15.
Okay, well,
13. And that's only because Khamzat got taken out.
Okay.
Well, Sean Brady's in there now.
Leon looks so dang good. Leon looks so dang good in that first round. I think hopefully the UFC rewards him. Just, at least we saw that. We was like, oh, that's an exciting fighter in that first round, that Leon Edwards. This isn't, I don't know, people thought him as a boring point fighter or whatever, but I thought he looked great. And I really hope to see Leon Edwards fight someone ranked near him, like either one up or one or two below or one or two above him.
So. Luque's fighting.
Didn't he already beat Luque?
Well, Woodley and Luque are fighting March 27th. So
yeah,
let's just say like that fight ends quickly in the first round, regardless of who wins. If they're ready to turn around quick and fight Leon.
I don't think Leon would take it. He already beat Vicente Luque, and Woodley's what he was.
But he's still ranked number 7.
Yeah, I think
he needs to fight anybody. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he just fought Leech.
Literally anybody.
He took a fight.
What's wrong with
Leech? Leech is fine too, but he took a fight versus. Yes, I just hope Leon Edwards takes a fight, a ranked fighter near him, not top 30. Yeah. Well, top 30 is ranked. All right.
Yeah.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
I knew this question was coming.
Yeah, I know.
Thoughts on the Manel Cape, Matthijs Nicolau decision, process score. See, here's, and I feel bad for my good friend Drake Riggs, who's an excellent reporter in the game. MMA decisions.
I think I was the first person to throw him under the bus, too.
MMA decisions. I was waiting for MMA decisions to put out the list of scores, and it was Cape all across the board. And it wasn't surprising to see Drake as the one man out, because Drake is that guy, and he did it earlier in the night. Everybody else gave the Courtney Casey, JJ Aldridge fight to Courtney Casey, except for Drake Riggs, who gave it for JJ Aldridge. So seeing him give it to Nicolau, I was like, okay, never change, Drake. That's who you are. And it turns out Drake said it was for Cape too. So 20 out of 20 media members to start. And I think Casey being thrown in there makes it 21 out of 21 media members all scored it for Manel Cape. This is a bad decision. This is bad, AK. You are the robbery man. This was bad.
I cannot comment. I am doing a formal robbery review for MMAfighting.com. Yes, my initial, I do think Cape won. I don't think it is an egregious robbery. Maybe when I review it, I'll think differently.
How many times do you see Cape's name there? That is called a robbery, sir.
The so-called MMA media. Yeah, I trust them. Listen, my pal Dana White did a little video a few months ago. I don't know if you saw that, where he called out certain members of the media. I'm trying to watch that video.
Oh, pulled down. Why was that video pulled down? Maybe because it was full of lies.
Yeah, exactly. Lies.
Casey, apparently you don't work for a site either, Casey.
Oh yeah, I'm just my own dude.
you're just an aggravated person online. Yeah.
He's an entity.
I just shook my fist at them.
He's his own entity. It's funny you mentioned we just mentioned something about point fighting, but like Leon Edwards showing that. You know who needs to be a little bit more of a point fighter? Manel Cape. I'm just saying, I would like to see him a little more pitter patter stuff. Because look, we love Manel Cape because he's looking for that knockout all the time, and he looked really good in this fight. And he walked Nicolau in the second round. You know, that knockout was coming. But there's those moments in between where I just wish he'd throw stuff out there just to score. And point fight like a man. Point fight like a real fighter. You know what I'm saying? But I get it. People love him because he's looking for that knockout. And when he gets going, there's not a lot of people in his weight range, whether it's 125 or 135 he was fighting in Japan, who are more exciting. He's just so much fun to watch. But he's got to learn to play the game a little bit, I think, because I think he won the fight too, but he was getting tagged a lot. And unfortunately, it looks like two of the judges scored a lot of the sort of that pitter patter stuff that Nicolau was throwing more heavily than that kind of that late flurry and some of the heavier stuff Cape was landing in round three. So I know it sucks.
It was a bad decision.
I can't get past point fight like a man.
Point fight like a man.
Ben Henderson.
What did you think? What did you think, Jose? What did you think of the fight, the scorecard, Cape not getting the win, and he's now 0-2 in the UFC?
I don't know. Like, I watched it on mute, so I don't know if the commentary was saying it was an egregious decision or whatnot. When it ended, I'm like, I thought Cape won, but like, I wasn't going to be surprised if Mateus won because he had two takedowns. And if you think octagon control or what, or control time is a real stat, we can get to you in a second, Casey. He clearly dominated that. And then I know they put up the stat after the fight, and it was like 60 to 55 total significant strikes or something like that. So if you just go off a stat, so you don't watch the fight, fight's pretty close. Manel Cape landed more. Nick Lau had more takedowns and way more control time. So it just depends. Again, we had this in the fight Q&A. Would you rather be a judge or a ref? And I said judge. I love stats, so I didn't think it was a huge egregious robbery like everyone else, but I did score it for Cape. I just thought it was a close fight. I agree with our, how many was it, 25 media members?
Including me.
I agree with, you're not a media member, remember? You're just an angry man online. All right. So,
point for like a man.
I agree that Manel Cape won. I just didn't think it was a robbery, but I don't know if they were complaining about it on the show either.
Okay. I know we're going to get sidetracked just a bit. If that's not a robbery, what the hell is a robbery? I don't know what the hell a robbery is then. Sanchez versus Pearson. Okay, so one fight in the history of MMA has been a robbery.
Matt Hamill and Michael Bisping was
still a close fight. It was a close fight. Matt Hamill had control. He had a lot of control time, man. Look at the stats. Control time.
I don't think
matters.
You remember that fight.
Oh, I remember that fight. Control time, man.
Sure.
So two fights have been robberies in the history of MMA. Turns out, looks like, and people complain about judging, yet there's only two robberies in the history of MMA. Sounds like judging is like pretty 99.99% awesome. So you can just shut down your little review robbery thing, AK. Yeah, you're muted.
Machida Shogun 1.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Control
what else,
time.
What else do I got?
Machida more control time.
I mean, honestly, I don't even know if he did. That's up there. I'm just looking at my own robbery review series that I've done here. Casey, I'm just looking at my own little list I have here. I'm with you. Look, I'm very skimpy on calling things robberies. And it's funny. Like, really, you know, you just use Sanchez as versus Pearson as sort of like the bottom rung.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's so far at the bottom that it's like there has to be some that are at least not that bad that could still be considered robberies. But it's hard because for me, robbery is a very strong word, and I think it's one that fans throw around a little too much. But I'll do a review. We may have seen one tonight. We may have seen two tonight. I think both were close, but there's arguments to be made.
I thought Aldridge had a better case than Nicolau for winning the fight, but both were robberies. I mean, there's different degree of robberies. I mean, you know, you can pickpocket someone, that's still a robbery, or you know, you can, you know, go guns blazing, mask on into a bank, that's also a robbery too, you know. So
you can hit trash cans with baseball bats and win the World Series. I mean, comes in all shapes and sizes.
we're talking sprots now. It's like,
Hendricks GSP, is that a robbery?
I did review that recently, and it broke my heart. For years I said that was not a robbery, but I'd watched it again like two or three times, and I was like, and probably watched it too many times, it probably became mushy in my brain, but I think that fight was a robbery. I guess if I have to think about it so much, then is it really a robbery? Now I'm hurting my head again. I don't know what to think.
I pulled up like just a list on Medium, and Frank Edgar is like in three of them. Do you think Ryan Hall saved himself from Ige by injuring himself? Serious question.
Why do we still put this guy's questions on the screen? Get out of here.
Yeah, it's not a serious question. No,
it's not a serious question.
Ryan Hall, Dan Ige needs to send a commission check to Ryan Hall, because at least 10%, you know, because he would not have got a knockout bonus or a fight a night bonus or whatever he got if Ryan Hall was in there. All right.
I was texting back and forth with Tyson Chartier through the night, who is the manager of Rob Font and Calvin Kattar, and he basically said, like, top 10 is just different, man. It's just different. Like, Gavin Tucker's a good fighter, but his point was just top 10 is just different. And Danny is a top 10 guy. And now you got Daddy Dan with that different kind of motivation. And I thought one of the interesting things he said in our conversation was, this is like the longest layoff he's had in a long time. Like, since the Kattar fight, that was in July.
Oh, wow. You're right.
So we had like all this time. It's like 9 months to just focus on getting better.
Wait, nine months?
Clearly.
So I'm just doing the math. So as soon as he lost to Kattar, he got his wife pregnant?
Pretty much.
Then pretty much, boom, get a fight. All right, I like that guy.
Danny there you go. Be there for the wife, get better with your skills, knock a guy out in 22 seconds, and go home and have a baby.
Yeah, good for him.
Two checks and 50 Gs. Good for him.
Good for him. But you notice also, he said top 10 is different because top 15 is not a thing. Top 15 is not a thing.
Featherweight's a good, really good division. Really good division.
I don't want to go to Danny. You stop asking good questions, John. Let me go to someone else.
Listen, everyone else, guys, this is a free for all. You have got to ask. I see some people complaining. Why is this one guy asking so many questions? Ask your own questions. And then you will be picked. There's a reason one guy keeps getting all his questions answered.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. It's not a question, but I'm just, you know, killing some time real quick.
Two robberies and one stupid rule. It's a potpourri, MMA potpourri, folks.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess we should talk about the JJ Aldrich Courtney Casey fight a little bit. First of all, of course, props to Jose who did tweet out the clip from our preview. Was this today or was this from yesterday's show, Jose?
It was yesterday.
I mean, I guess it's not a Super Bowl prediction, but you were right, as always, to call out that, you know, that these Courtney Casey fights tend to be a little bit close. They tend to end in split decisions. And I know you didn't really wager a guess, but as we saw today, they also tend to end in Courtney Casey losing these split decisions. I heard this was her third split decision loss in the UFC. Mm-hmm. That's
something like
really
that.
That's really tough to do. That's like to make it that far. And I'm sure her and her team don't want to make excuses. I'm sure that you can do to avoid this happening, but it must suck to think you've done enough. You know, Casey, it's almost as if there's something, a change we could make to scoring, you know, that would like somehow help these fighters figure out how they should operate in the third. I can't imagine what that change would be, but I'm just, you know, throwing that out there. It's almost as if it was something they could do.
My theory is you never tell them the score of the fight and they just kind of guess.
We'll try that. That's how it should be done.
I enjoy watching basketball and I put like a little piece of paper where the score is. So in the end, I kind of just go, I wonder who won. It feels like the Lakers won.
Casey, do you feel like that this is a fight that would have benefited from open scoring? Go ahead. Oh, well, that's Mike. Let Mike go first.
Absolutely not. Because it was 19-9. It was 1-1 heading into the third. Would have had no difference on the fight whatsoever.
Maybe not that fight, but they need to know the dang score.
My bad.
They need to know the score. Was it 19-19? I don't even know.
I guess so. My bad. I didn't know that. I wasn't paying attention.
Jose had a couple of good picks. The split decision one, you said that there would be blood in the main event. And even though it was only like a round in 22 seconds or so, Jose was right. And from a freaking head kick, too. A head kick to the side of the head. Wild. Blah was bleeding. Tristan Gordet. Thoughts on Charles Jourdain's performance, which his fight against Rojo should have been fight of the night. It was a good fight. Jourdain got clipped a couple of times in that second round. It was getting a little dicey in there, but came through in a big way. Whatever his coaches told him, Farasahabi said, you could be down two rounds here. You got to go in there and finish. And he did exactly that. So for those who went to the betting window and said, wow, that Mike Heck knows what he's talking about. I'm putting dog money on Marcelo Rojo. I almost helped you there. And if you did that, sorry about that. And hope you didn't lose too much. But great fight. It was exactly the fight I expected. It was good stuff. What did you think, Jose? Jourdain, his performance, and then just the fight overall?
It was a question answering performance because, like I said at the beginning, I think Charles Jourdain is a fantastic fighter. He's really fun. Obviously, I'm a big fan of his personality and his nickname and all that. I just thought, like, and AK agreed with me, that I just think there was people had that Do Ho Choi knockout fresh in their mind, and a lot was going on with Do Ho Choi leading up to that fight. He was on this streak of not just knockout losses, but violent knockout losses and, like, fight of the year contenders. So I think Charles Jourdain just kind of got – was that a short notice fight or something like that, crazy like that too? I'm not sure. But he Jourdain wins that fight, and then it's one of those ones where he kind of just gets thrown into these fights that maybe he wasn't ready for. Like the Andre Feely fight. And so I had a lot of questions for him. We knew he could finish fighters and we knew he was exciting. I just didn't know how good he was. And Charles Jourdain proved that he's a fantastic fighter. He's clearly a finisher because that's all he goes for. So yeah, if I had to define it, it was a question answering performance. I don't know if he's going to be top 10 or top five, whatever you want to say, but he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to circle his fights no matter what. And I think he's going to be one of those fights that I always say, like, when two guys fight, it's just going to be high level violent martial arts, because he's a martial artist. He's in MMA. I like to define martial artists as just a gentleman who could just beat your ass in the most exciting way possible. And that's Charles Jourdain. That is the definition of Charles Jourdain. So yeah, he's on Team Jose for sure. I'm not missing any of his fights anymore.
Anybody else want to comment on this fight, AK? Do you feel vindicated?
The Showtime Hammer Fist was something else. I mean, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? I mean, first of all, the credit to Rojo, man. This was on less than 3 weeks' notice, stepping in. He's a bantamweight, by the way. I think people could see there was a size difference. He is a bantamweight. He is not a featherweight. And so he did what a undersized guy does, just tried to get in the bigger guy's face and turn it into a brawl. And look, he got hit a lot, but he landed shots. So great effort by Rojo. A huge. I was really, really impressed by him. But yeah, I thought Jourdain. I see someone mentioning a possible nickname for him. They said he should be called Jourdain Poutine, I guess, because he's from Montreal. He has the best nickname, Air Jourdain. It's amazing. And he did the Showtime Hammer Fist today. It was perfect. It was such a great bit of marketing. So that was awesome. And yeah, it's a great win for him. And I want to shout out, by the way, that was not the first time I'd seen that move. I did just have to look this up. Christian Aguilera, I think, was the first time I'd see someone do the Showtime Hammer Fist. This was at an LFA show last year, I think. So shout out to Christian Aguilera, the innovator of the Showtime Hammer Fist, but he didn't catch it as clean as Jourdain did. That was a loud hammer fist. Like, that was right on point. Awesome. One of the best strikes of the year. I mean, it was sick if it was a KO.
He's awesome. Almost jumped on his head with that one too. The way, like, Rojo was moving around, he, like, cleared his whole head.
I don't want more DQs or rule infractions, but man, if we had like another no contest or DQ from like Showtime head stomp. Oh my god, that would have been like so cool. I'm like, oh, don't do that again, but oh, that was awesome. next time.
That was a good fight though. Great fight. Can't wait to see Rojo back at 135 in a full camp. And
dude, like Jose said, another badass bantamweight in the UFC. Good lord, man. Oh,
bantamweight rules.
All right, I like this question coming up. I don't like it, but
no one asked. And Mike and Alex, you don't have to answer because you have your podcast. But Charles Jourdain, Alex Caceres, make it happen.
Spicy. They're
just gentlemen that are hyper exciting fighters. Like they're just wacky in there. Like Alex Caceres throws a double punch, like he does, like that. The double punch over the head all the time. Love it. Make it happen.
What's Anthony? Touchy Feely.
Touchy Feely.
What's he doing?
They already fought.
Oh yeah, that was the fight that did, yeah. I forgot. That was the fight. I was like, oh my god, that guy's awesome. Yeah, okay. That's great. Run it back.
That was a fight between a very big comic book nerd and a big video game nerd. So I'm about it.
Nerd fights. All right.
Shit, forgot you were born in the 80s. Nerd is an insult.
Is Cape in danger?
You thought I was born in the 80s? 70s.
No, you were alive in the 80s. I said you were alive in the 80s.
Okay, this is true. I was alive. All right, moving on.
Shoot.
Casey, is Manel Cape or Manel Cop, whatever they're calling him?
He's Cape. We're saying Cape.
Until John Annex says otherwise.
Yeah.
That's true. Is Manel Cape in danger of Will Brooksing himself out of the UFC?
Well, Will Brooks got a win, so no. But I understand what the question is. I hope not. Obviously, did Dana speak at the presser? Did we know? No, he probably skipped it. It's one of those things. You know, if Dana, you know, gets on a microphone and someone asks him, you know, what'd you think about that decision? He says, but okay, won that fight. And, you know, then no, he isn't in danger. But it's not good for his pocketbook, you know? I mean, I know. So that sucks for Cape. No, I don't think so. I think obviously we saw him in there. You know, he looks awesome, and yeah, I don't know. But that is the Will Brooks thing himself. Man, that's a crappy adjective to put on someone.
That's harsh. Like, that's harsh.
God, I hope Will Brooks.
Yeah,
I
know. Ouch.
All right.
Definitely not anytime soon. He did the UFC a favor by take this fight on short notice, in El Cape.
Oh yeah,
and,
that too.
And he looked good tonight. He looked much better. I know, Casey, you don't agree. I do feel that there was some reason to be disappointed in his UFC debut. Again, whether people had heard of him or not, there was that buzz around, and I think people were like thinking, like, oh man, as good as Pantoja is, this guy's supposed to be a big deal. He's a champion overseas. He's supposed to like take him out. And there's just way too much hesitance. He just didn't show what he does best. But tonight, he showed a lot of what he does best. And again, it was a really good fight. We shouldn't take anything away from Nicolau. Nicolau, again, is probably a top 10 flyweight, right? So it's not like Cape was getting thrown in there with some guy he's supposed to style on. If people thought that's what was going to happen, then you don't know enough about Nicolau. This guy is probably a top 10 flyweight in the world. And he looked it tonight. So I think both guys looked great. I think Cape, honestly, I actually think he could get another loss and still get one more chance. I think he's right there. I just think he just hasn't quite had that. I just think he hasn't quite had that moment yet. Al Mack. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means, but yeah, I agree with you, Al Mack.
Fair call.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you do with Manel Cape now. Like, I don't know what kind of match you'd be throwing him in there with.
Go ahead.
There's nothing easy for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
There are no easy Joe flyweight B. fights.
Don't do that, Joe B. Don't do that to Joe B. Don't do that to Joe B.
Why? Manel Cape hasn't shown me anything to see that Joseph Benavidez would be in danger in there.
Have you never seen Manel Cape fight?
I'm teasing you, Casey. I'm not teasing Manel Cape.
I'm all like,
I'm teasing you.
If this wasn't my own computer, I'll flip this table over right now.
Definitely that. Casey's the one that gets insults when someone says something bad about Manel Cape. Show the cards. Just turn your cards around next time you're playing poker.
There's only one fight to make for Manel Cape. It's Tyson Nam. That's the fight. Throw those two guys in there. Throw bombs at each other.
I want that so badly.
I approve.
Someone's getting knocked out.
I wouldn't hate Ryan Benoit because he gets hit a lot, and I feel like that's a fight that Manel Cape could just style on because he's also coming off two losses.
I like that fight,
yeah.
too.
And Benoit's a name, and he's very durable, so it's like Manel could win that fight, and he could 30-25 him. Because we all know how good Manel Cape is.
Yeah, you know, and Manel
there's Cape, no easy fights at flyweight. There's no easy fights.
Tim Elliott wants to fight Manel Cape, but I don't like that fight for Manel right now.
I thought Tim called out Kai.
He called out Kai too. He said Manel and Kai were the two guys he was looking at.
What about Figueiredo's brother?
Is he a 25 or two?
Francisco.
Yeah.
Fighting Jimmy Flick.
He is competing.
Oh, he's fighting Flick. Yeah. Shoot. That's a tough scrap.
I'm interested how quick Manel Cape will come back, actually, because it looks, I mean, he may be just one of those guys that doesn't bruise at all, but he's fought 30 minutes now in the UFC octagon, and he looks brand new when he comes out of the cage. Like, you saw Nicolas, he was all bruised up, looks like he just fell in a blender, you know, and maybe, who knows, Manel Cape, we might see him back in, you know, a month, who knows.
Also,
he's been training at AKA,
he's AKA, yeah.
Mateusz Nicolau walked out to the Gwent song from Witcher 3,
yeah.
Which is absurdly, absurdly niche and absurdly random. It's one of those fights, it's one of those songs where if you've played this very specific part of a very specific game, like, and you hear it in the background, your head just kind of turns and you're like, oh my God, that song. And that is exactly, I was like typing, I was like making graphics, and my neck just like snapped up. I was like, oh man, he's walking out to the Gwent song. I text all of my friends, I'm like, turn on ESPN Plus.
You thought you had the game on in the background. You're like, did I have this open in another window? You're like, what's it? I was like, oh no.
I even have a physical box of Gwent cards sitting right there. Yeah. It would have been like, I'll play. Let's do an interview where I play Gwent with Mateusz Nicolau. I'm about it.
Oh yeah, there we go. Book it.
I'll give one last quick thing on this fight. Props to Nicolau for the durability. He's improved. His chin's gotten better because some of those shots at Cape Landon in the second round, I thought he was done. As soon as got clipped the first time, I was like, he's done. This is it. Cape's going to get his first stoppage. And Nicolau came through and got a win, victory.
Nicolau fought. Nicolau fought great. It was a very good fight. He's a great fighter. I just didn't think he won the fight. I don't think anything bad of Nicolau. I think he's still obviously a top flyweight in the UFC, and it's good to have him back. So yeah.
Yep, completely agree. It was a good fight. Cool. All right, what do we got there, Brian Spann? I'll let Jose answer this question since AKA we'll be talking about this tomorrow. We got this on the preview show. Spann versus the winner of Crute versus Anthony Smith. That makes sense.
Sure. Like anytime, like Ryan Spann looked awesome. Who did he lose to? Was it the Johnny Walker? Was his last fight, right? But that fight was wild. Like that fight was back and forth until it wasn't. So sure. Fine with me. I think as much as we talked about light heavyweight being super shallow and kind of the old man's division for a minute, like it's a lot. It's the future looks pretty bright at 205. In terms of like at least competitiveness,
I was like I think in the fan Q and A before I was pretty high in Sirkunov. I was pretty high in him. Sirkunov. So I was a bit shocked by Ryan Spann tonight, but he looked awesome. He looked quick. He fought smart, and he's definitely improving. And my God, he is a big man too. I've never seen him in person. You know. He just was like, woo. And he seems to be hitting his stride now. And, it's exciting. I wasn't super high on him, but he fought a great fight. And him versus if Crute wins, is Crute's fighting Anthony Smith, right?
Yeah.
When is that? Next week?
End of March?
Soon. Yeah. It's exciting. Crute, Spann. What's the other guy that's knocked out OSP? What's his name? Jamal Hill. Yeah. These new 205ers.
He was talking greasiness.
Oh, he was? All right. So these new 205ers kind of going from prospects to contenders. That's good. So a lot of fresh blood for the champ.
And on Sirkunov, I've always heard from, and AK, maybe you've heard it too, especially because you're up in Canada. I've heard from like Canadian media that Sirkunov is one of those guys that's like OSP. Where he is so talented, but he just reached his peak at his gym. Like he needs to go to an actual gym where he's not the man.
Yeah, I'll say this: he was really hyped pre-UFC. He was drawing Fedor comparisons. I remember he was one of many Canadian fighters who was drawing. I remember him and who was little Fedor? Who's the guy who Enzo Kawani kicked in the head as he was running away for Chris
Hordeski.
Sardesky, they said he was like a little Fedor. I don't know what the Fedor's talk was going on up here, but I remember, Misha, and it took Sirkunov a while to get there. He got to the UFC way later than people expected. He's always been touted as like a blue chip guy, a huge talent. This was the one fight that I actually predicted pretty accurately. Don't read my predictions at MMAfighting.com, people. Well, please do it and click, but don't just go right to the Sirkunov Spann fighter. Everything else was so completely wrong. But I was worried about the speed difference. That's the one thing with Sirkunov, great fighter. But he's a little slow. He's a little slow and his strike is a little mechanical. And I'm like, I think Spann's going to beat him to the punch early. And if he does, it's going to be trouble because he's not going to get into the ground after that. So sure enough, that's what we saw. So very nice win for Spann. I like the call out after. And Stephen K, you know, it's the Smith Crute fight. You know, Anthony Smith could win the fight too. That's so disrespectful to a former world title challenger who did not take the easy way out of his title fight. I'm just saying. Shout outs to Anthony Smith as well. It could be Anthony Smith. Smith-Spann, I'd like that.
That fight is happening at UFC 261 on April 24th.
Oh, end of April. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. So. No, but the way
someone I wish I could see their name said, here we go. My favorite guy, my favorite German viewer, MMA Vodgers, says, Hani Yahya versus Ronnie Lawrence, which I think he knows he did that just so I would say hashtag Hani on Ronnie. And you got what you wanted. You got what you wanted.
It's
easy.
Ronnie.
I'm easy like that.
Ronnie on Ronnie.
Is it Ronnie? Oh, okay. I thought it was Han. Yeah. Okay. Oh, when it's at the beginning of the name. No, really? Oh, yeah. It's at the beginning of a name. You do pronounce the R. That's right. So hashtag Ronnie on Ronnie. I'm easy. They know anytime.
That's a wild ass fight.
There's such an experience difference there. I mean, it could happen. I'm sure Ronnie IO would take it, but Ronnie on Ronnie. I'm always into that stuff. That sounds weird.
Yeah, people forget that. Like we were talking in the media room when Cruz was fighting. We were trying to come up with all of the WEC vets that are actually still fighting in the UFC. When we were like Joe B, Dominic Cruz, Carlos Condit, everyone always forgot Ronnie Aya. Mm-hmm, had a lot of fights in WEC.
I think he set the
Mike
record
Brown tonight. In his UFC debut and is still fighting.
I believe he set the record tonight for combined UFC WEC submissions. I think he holds the record now. I think he passed like Faber and some other names like you said that we more closely associate with WEC.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Ronnie Aya versus Casey Kenny would be a lot of fun.
Ooh.
I like that.
135 rules. God, 135 is good.
I like that. That's good.
All right, got any more? We'll go for a couple more. Will Jinyu Fry benefit from a woman's atomweight division in the UFC? She saved her UFC job, in my opinion.
I will say no, only because Jinyu Fry, maybe if Jinyu Fry was younger and if she was like, say, in her late 20s, but now she's hitting her upper 30s. I think her frame, she just can't make 105, 106 healthy anymore. But in general, I think the UFC would benefit from a women's atomweight division, and she did save her UFC job tonight, in my opinion.
150%. And one thing we were talking about before we hit record, I had no idea she went to Fortis MMA. I mean, I know she's in the area. She lives in Arlington, which is like probably a 30-35 minute ride from Dallas. Yeah. I mean, Dallas is friggin' ginormous, so...
Dallas Fort Worth area.
Smart.
Yes.
Yeah. 10 weeks with Saif Saud and all of them, you could tell like Saif already was in her ear and she could hear his voice clearly and they have a connection already. And, you could tell in that fight, as soon as Saif was like, we need a takedown right now. Third round goes in, gets a takedown, almost gets the submission. She looked awesome tonight. She looked really good in a fight. I thought she was going to struggle in.
Can we praise that game plan they had? Let me tell you something. She did not the commentators were a little critical in the second round because she wasn't going all out for takedowns. That to me was 100% intentional. I think she knew that she might gas out if she forced her takedown in the second round. I don't think any fighter ever wants to give up a round, but she definitely won the first one. Her and her team knew they won the first round. So I think they were okay to kind of try standing in the second and maybe give that round away, or at least not put their best foot forward in the second round. And then I literally tweeted this right after second. I said, one takedown is going to win this fight because they know after the first round, she can hold Dave Paola down. She knows she can do it. And sure enough, within the first 30 seconds of the third round, they got the takedown and they got the win. So I think all of that was intentional. Let me put it this way, guys. I'm an idiot when it comes to predicting fights and figuring out game plans. I'm a moron.
No one's arguing by the way. So go on.
No, I was like, guys, don't all jump out at once. Don't jump out at once. But so if I can see something like that coming, then it has to be a good plan. It has to be a good kind of obvious, clear plan that even someone like myself can understand. And I thought that was brilliant. So yeah, absolutely. I picked Dave Paola before, but that was a really great game plan by Fry, and that's how they won the fight. It was great, really great veteran execution.
Yeah, and also I think Mike Heck hit it well, but Fry has had, her main head coach has been her husband, who is also a former fighter. And so for her to kind of get out of her comfort zone and go to a new camp, new training partners, new everything. I know Jen a little bit, and she's very, she's very mental. So like, if she's just not in the right headspace, you just won't get the proper fighter out there. So, and I really think, Saif put her in that proper headspace, and we saw Jen fight at her potential tonight, which is nice. It just felt nice. So the fans finally got to see the Jen that was so successful in Invicta and at atomweight. So it's just, I don't know how far she'll go at strawweight at this point in her career, but she got that win, and it's just it's a feel-good win. And the lady she beat, what was her name? The lady she beat?
De Paola. Gloria De Paola.
She's fine. It was a loss for her, but I expect her. I don't know how far she'll go, but she looked like a quality strawweight too. So I expect good things from her too. Good matchmaking. Good fight.
Yeah, I mean, you could see you know, not only safe, but just being able to be around, Cheyenne Bays, clearly helpful because Cheyenne's a monster. She's making her debut next week. JP Bays is at Fortis MMA. He's like one of the best wrestlers of the lower weight classes that you're going to see. I remember talking to Uriah Hall, and Uriah Hall's like, wait till you see this kid wrestle. It's unbelievable. Like he throws me around, and he's a 125er. He's sick. So you can tell like there's some influence there between those two as well. And I'm excited to see both Cheyenne and JP, husband and wife, debuting on the same card next Saturday. Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
A lot of Fortis MMA on the card next week.
So romantic.
Aww.
Shout out to the De La Rosas and the Kings over in Bellator as well.
Because this will be the first time husband and wife could win on the same card, right? Because I know we've seen them fight on the same card, but they weren't. When the De La Rosas fought, Montana won, Mark lost, right?
Yes.
And Mark Bellator TKO, Bellator TKO. Had husband and wife fight too, but only one.
Emily and Jason King, yes.
That's right.
All right. Hey, guys. On the comments, we're not going to talk about UFC 260 yet. That's a couple weeks away. We still have Brunson Holland, Bad Blood next week. So slow down.
Bad Blood. With two D's on the front. Bad. Yeah. Bad Blood. Sick.
Yeah. So we got Brunson Holland. That's fun. We get Gillespie Riddell. That's a lot of fun. Gillespie's first fight since the Kevin Lee fight. Tai Tuivasa versus Dontel Mays. That's someone's going to sleep. Max Griffin versus Kenan Song. Cheyenne Bays versus Monster at Ruiz, making her UFC debut in for Kay Hansen. Marion Renault versus Macy Chiasson. Grant Dawson back, jumping up to 55 to fight Leonardo Santos.
Is that a permanent move for Dawson? 55 for now, as far as you know?
You will find out Tuesday.
Juicy.
Trevin Giles. Trevin Giles versus Roman Dolidze. And this is not at 205. This is Roman Dolidze on 11 days notice is dropping down to 185 to fight Trevin Giles. Wild. Craziness.
Who was Trevin supposed to fight?
Dreykus Duplessis.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the middleweight thing. I have to remember this guy's name from Adjara Sport, who's always covering all the Georgian fighters. I'm gonna kick myself for not remembering his name. Georgie, do you guys know what I'm talking about? This guy, Georgie,
yeah.
Oh, I hate myself right now. I specifically made a note to mention, but Georgie, I will shout you out on to the next one tomorrow. He mentioned that he spoke to Dolidze, and Dolidze has been planning a move to 185 for a long time, and apparently, or I guess it's long since his last fight. And apparently a lot of 185ers did not want to take this fight. So this is, he's a big guy and he's very, very comfortable. Yeah, apparently making this move.
Julia
next week.
I don't feel comfortable saying it. If it's normally when it's two women fighters, I'd like to say Julia X Julia. It's just a little more tawdry. I don't know. I'm sexist. I'm sorry. I know it sounds bad. It sounds terrible. I know. Double standard.
Some good 35 scraps. Adrian Yanez is back against Gustavo Lopez. That should be fun. Montel Jackson is back. He's taking on newcomer Jesse Strader. JP Bays against Bruno Silva and Johnny Eduardo versus Anthony Burchak.
They're still in the UFC. That's cool.
Johnny Eduardo just came back after a super long layoff, and Anthony Burchak took a really short notice fight, his last fight, to get back into the UFC. I can't remember who he fought, but his original opponent fell out, and they needed someone in the area in 2 days, and he was just there.
Listen, so it's Johnny, like, you know how?
It was Gustavo Lopez.
Yeah, you know how you keep calling for Sarah to get re-signed every time a female fighter falls out. That's pretty much what Burchak has been doing for himself, and so eventually Sean Shelby just called his name.
I was like, whoa! I saw that. I was like, that looks like it was from like a fight booking from like six years ago or something. But yeah, go for
Johnny,
that.
Johnny Eduardo, a spry 42 years young guy, is entering his 20. This will be his in November, his 25th year as a pro MMA fighter. He debuted in 1996, guys. Very young, spry. And I got a shout out to Jesse Strader, Mike, who you just mentioned. So this guy, I spoke to him and his girlfriend, who was a contestant on The Voice, it's hard to tell. I can't remember in COVID years anymore. Maybe 2 years ago now. So he's a Combate America standout. If anyone look on our site, Miss Fist, Jesse Strader, you'll find a sick knockout he had in Combate Americas. And it's a very cool story because him and his girlfriend, Joey Folco, they both train. I'm waiting for the day that Cal McLaren signs Joey to a fight for Combate. It seems like something he would love to do, have a former voice contestant inside the Combate cage. But yeah, I'm excited for Jesse. I feel bad. I was actually not aware that debut was even happening next week, but definitely a guy to look out for. So cool story with him, and hopefully his girlfriend will be there too.
We just got a tweet from Bala Muhammad. He said, quote, "My heart is shattered. My first main event ended like that, but God's the best of planners. I'm sorry to the fans and the UFC. You deserved a full fight." He also said that his vision is coming back and there's no permanent damage to the eye. I'll be back. And he wants to run it back with Leon Edwards. So good news. Good to hear that. You know, as gnarly as that looked, it's no permanent damage. So good to hear for Bala Muhammad. So unfortunate ending to a very fun card tonight. UFC Vegas 21 in the books. I'm sure we'll talk about it more throughout the week. But there you go. That's going to do it for our post-fight show. For all of you watching and asking questions and commenting, we appreciate it very much. AK and I are back mañana. On to the next one, matchmaking, as we get you ready for UFC Vegas 22 next week, headlined by Derek Brunson versus Kevin Holland. Huge, huge fight at 185 pounds. But until then, for Jose, AK, EKC Lydon on the ones and twos, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
Happy birthday, AK.
Stop it.
You love it.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.